From home to Bethlehem was 144 kilometres. Took probably about 7 days, right, just past Proserpine. About 7 days to walk that distance, heavily pregnant. No wonder she had the baby when she arrived, because she just had such a long walk. But there was no place for them. No inn, no hotel, no motels then, no caravans, no tents. And so she shared it where the animals were kept. Now, Pastor Ben last week was sharing how the animals were brought into a house. And so there was an area in the house where there was hay. Doesn't matter. The Bible says that Jesus was laid in a manger. And we want to be careful we don't romanticize his birth and say it was just glorious and the little drummer boy played and the angels were there and the light shone around about. It wasn't like that at all. It was the pain of birth, brought forth, wiped clean, wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. And the smell, of course, was of animals and what animals leave behind them. So this was Jesus' start. This was God's choice, not man's choice. If I was Mary, I'd say, look at me. I'm carrying the Saviour. He was conceived out of wedlock. Here I am, having to have my child in such a condition and put him in a manger. What sort of God is this, carrying the God of the universe inside me? But that was God's choice, because Jesus didn't come as a king. He came as a servant. He was God. But he came as a servant. So I want to read you a scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Let me repeat that. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. This was the most significant happening literally in the history of the world. For God was born to man, and it provided salvation for the disobedient human race that had disobeyed what God said, and sin was brought into the world. And if only they will obey it and receive it, they can have that salvation that God brings. And this is why we have great joy. Let me just say, joy and happiness are not the same thing. Happiness is because we've had a good night's sleep, somebody's been kind to us, events have turned out that have pleased us, a lot of things. And we'd say, well, I feel happy this morning, and this is the reason why. But joy is despite any circumstance that comes against you, good or bad. And God gives it to us, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so God strengthens us with joy to walk through it. The angel did not promise happiness. There's no word in the Bible for that, but he did promise joy. If we look unto Jesus, we can receive that joy that he said we could. And it's a choice. You don't get it because you just think it's there floating around. You make a choice to be joyful. I knew a woman in a very difficult circumstance, very difficult marriage, lived in almost poverty, but she was always joyful. I never saw her lacking joy. And I thought, wow, in the midst of adverse circumstances, you can have joy just as she did. John 16:21 says, a woman, when she is labour, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's even given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. And that's what we've got to get. The vision beyond the birth, the vision beyond the pain, the vision beyond the suffering, and say, I can have joy. Despite what I'm going through in this life and this world, I can have joy because I have a great confidence of the future in the presence of God and knowing what he brings. In Romans 15:13, the scripture says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." It's about believing. If you can believe that God will give you joy, then receive it, have it, live by it, because I can't promise you what tomorrow will bring. I know we have a good life in Mackay. Basically, COVID hasn't visited our city as such. We've had 2 years of freedom. Who knows what tomorrow is, next year is. But we can have joy despite all of that, and that is a choice. And if you take your eyes off the destiny, which is to be with God in heaven ultimately, we lose joy and it evaporates. But with our eyes on God, we have the joy and hope that the Lord brings. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus could see today. He could see the people who are gathered here, who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. He could see through that, and he had a joy enduring the cross, knowing that enduring that cross would provide for you an eternal life and an eternal hope and an eternal blessing that comes from him. That's what he did, and that's why he endured what he did. I can't promise you there'll be no pain or suffering in your life. I've read the history of many Christian martyrs who've suffered. I've read the history of men and women who've gone through very, very enduring times, but they came through with joy because they looked beyond where they were and said, there's joy at the end. May I just say to you this morning, if you look under the great hope, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified for you so that you can have all that God intended for you to have, both in this world and the next world. And if God intended in this world for you to go through situations that aren't exactly pleasant, he did provide for you a joy. I'm thankful for modern medicine. I'm thankful that in the midst of, you know, when you can have tremendous pain, there's also medicine to alleviate that pain. Well, joy does that. When you go through difficult times, joy lifts you over that and you can go through that. Looking to the world will bring depression. Looking to God or looking to Jesus brings life and hope and joy. And I'm going to close with a verse from Jude, verse 24. "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." I speak joy unto you this morning. We're going to close with that great hymn, "Joy to the World," carol that we've sung. We're going to sing it again. And as we sing it, would you just say, yeah, I'm going to grab joy. I'm going to determine to be a person who has God's joy. Doesn't matter what happens to me, I have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength in every circumstance. Amen.